With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Week 18 in DFS. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the DFS Podcast. It's me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and it's Week 18 in the NFL already, if you can believe it, and I know I can.
And I'm sure you can't either, and it's going to be a wacky and wild final week to the season. Some teams are playing for everything, some teams are playing for nothing, and some players are playing for incentives. And to help me break it all down is my new best friend, Kira Wiatrowski from Club Fantasy Football. She has graced us with her presence this morning to hang out, try our best to throw some darts, and hopefully land in the right spot. Kira, I am so happy that you took the time to join us this morning, and I hope you're up for the challenge. I suspect you are, for what typically is the wackiest, craziest week in NFL DFS, because defenses go home, guys don't want to tackle anymore, and a lot of players we weren't expecting to be on the field actually are.
Yeah, we get the beloved Week 18. And, you know, it's a tale as old as time when they say that you save the best for last. So whether that's true or not, you know, here we are. And I get the true degenerates of the world listening to us this week. They're still hanging on. They have no quit in them for fantasy football. So I honestly feel right at home here in Week 18. I think it was meant for me. So I'm excited to do it.
You nailed it. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. We're all these degenerates who can't stop, and all those people who are unhappy without championship week for them. They've got nothing left to do, and they're going to start getting into the DFS world again, too, just because they say, let me try this. I'm bored, or I have a bad taste in my mouth. And this is the perfect opportunity to make smart plays and make some money, but expect those pay lines to be much higher than usual. This is what we see. This is always the trend. And on a year where there's been a lot of unders, this, I think, is a week that is not going to disappoint in that sense. But we were already missing some players, too. We already saw Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, Joe Pizapia, all of them out this week. No, never me. I'm never out, no matter what. But that is always the hardest thing, I feel like, Kira, is we're always trying to figure out, okay, who's going to play, and then how much are they going to play, too? You hear guys like Roger saying, yeah, well, I expect to play, but do we really believe him? And if so, how much is he going to be on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. I think where you have to start in DFS this week, or, you know, if God forbid your season-long leagues did that to you where you have to worry about Week 18, you really have to break down who's playing for something. You know, that's super important. Who do we trust is going to play this entire game? Who has incentives? That's definitely something you want to look for, because players at the end of the year are always trying to make more money. So you want to find out these things before you just go into it and think, you know, hey, Joe Burrow had a huge week last week. Jamar Chase, you know, hey, they might not be playing. So, well, they're definitely not playing Joe Burrow, at least. So that's very important that you have to look that stuff up before you just go into Week 18 thinking that you can crush another slate. But that stuff's going to burn you for sure.
And we're going to talk about those incentives in just a second. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, we still got that giveaway going on at fantasypros.com/contest. So head over there right now. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. All you have to do is take a screenshot, that's it, of your YouTube subscription. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros. And it's very easy to do. You just go to youtube.com/fantasypros and you just take that screenshot. Make sure you click that little notifications bell as well. That way, you know when all the great content here drops. Every single podcast is on there. So that is something that is very easy to do. And this month, we just gave away the Alvin Kamara jersey. So this month, it's a signed Jalen Waddle jersey, my boy, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auctions. So if you want that to hang up in your house somewhere or just walk around your house in it, that's up to you. It's yours and it's free. All you got to do, once again, is go to fantasypros.com/contest and sign up today. And I also want to remind everybody, don't forget about the Daily Juice podcast over on our Betting Pros side at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Our old Matt Perrault gives you his quick thoughts on every single sport, whether it's NFL, college football, college basketball, which is going to get red hot real soon. NBA's already kicked off here for a while. NHL, UFC, it doesn't matter. Matt Perrault does it. I don't know how he does. The dude is a monster, but he's fantastic. So make sure you subscribe to his podcast. Again, that's The Daily Juice, and you can check that out at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. So Kira, let's hit a couple of these incentives real quick, and I want to get your takes on them. Let's start with some of the player incentives for money, which is, you know, that's what it's all about at the end of the day for a lot of these guys. Stefon Diggs needs 6 catches to earn $1.55 million. Rob Gronkowski, 7 receptions away for $500,000. I wonder if his best friend Tom Brady will make sure he gets in the football. And then A.J. Green needs just 75 receiving yards to earn $250,000. And A.J. Green might not have a lot of big contracts in his future. So I'm going to ask you, how do you feel about these three big player money incentives that are on the line? Do you think they're attainable and you think it's something we should be targeting?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually something I should be targeting, or we should all be targeting, just because I think they're all within reach and all these teams are playing for something. So I think that it's pretty much a no-brainer. Stephon Diggs this week, Rob Gronkowski, and even if you want to take a flyer on A.J. Green and get those 75 yards, because you're right, I don't know how much time he has left in the NFL to be able to earn some extra cash. So, yeah, I do. I like that the incentives for the money this week a lot.
I'm in for sure on the Diggs one because it just seems so attainable. Great matchup against the Jets. I feel like Brady is going to get Gronk his money. I mean, that's kind of what Brady does, right? Is
yeah, they're Rob Gronkowski.
Right. I mean, like if you know, Dan Harris or somebody said, hey, could you do 2 more podcasts with me so I can get a bonus? I would begrudgingly do it, even though I'd have to spend more time with Dan. And then A.J. Green, 75 receiving yards sounds a little, you know, tenuous, but at the same time, they're playing against Seattle. So I kind of feel like it's actually in play. So I agree. I think all three guys are actually, we should be aware of. And then you've got the individual player incentives, and we got a fair amount of them here. We got Cooper Kupp, 12 receptions and 136 yards away from the all-time single-season record. That seems attainable. Mike Evans, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury, will get more practice reports on him. He's 54 yards away from 8 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons, excuse me, which I don't think that really matters as much. And then Ja'Marr Chase, 45 yards away from the all-time rookie record, but again, no Joe Burrow. Who's the most attainable of these three in your mind? Is it Kupp, is it Chase, or is it Evans?
Out of the three, it's a really hard decision between Mike Evans and Cooper Kupp, because I know last year Mike Evans was kind of in a similar situation, you know, to get 8 consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards and only need 54 for that. I could see Brady doing it for him, you know. But Cooper Kupp with the 12 receptions, 136 yards to beat the all-time record, that's a huge deal. And it's obviously not very far-fetched coming from someone with a talent like Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, he's like my lock of the week for sure, Cooper Kupp in all formats. So I would have to say Cooper Kupp, 12 receptions, 136 yards. He's done it before. This isn't impossible for a guy like him. So I could see him being able to get it done.
All right, Kyle Pitts, 59 yards away from all-time tight end rookie record. Mark Andrews, 149 for the all-time tight end record. Forget rookies. And then Jonathan Taylor, 266 yards away from 2,000 rushing yards. It seems like a lot, but then again, it is the Jaguars. I mean, maybe could get a couple big ones. I don't know. I mean, we've seen stranger things happen. But what are your thoughts on these three? These all also seem kind of difficult, I would say, to reach for a myriad of reasons, but what are your thoughts? You think any of these are somehow going to pop in week 18?
Yeah, I mean, these are a lot more tough here because Jonathan Taylor, I mean, I don't believe he's rushed over 200 yards all season. So this is going to be tough for him to reach this mark. Do I think he tries? Hell yeah, I think he tries. does he reach it? I don't know. I mean, that would be epic if he does. But as far as Mark Andrews, you know, it doesn't sound too crazy for him to get nearly 150 yards to reach that all-time tight end record. But he's going up against a tough matchup there. Probably no Lamar Jackson. I don't even know if that matters for him at this point. I think Huntley's actually kind of helped him out. so little out of the realm of possibilities there too, but not, again, not impossible. And as far as Kyle Pitts, I guess it would really depend on if he's healthy to play this game or not, if they want to take the risk and get him the all-time record or not. But his is probably the most likely and capable of happening.
All right, let's move on to our pricey cash gameplays, the premium guys, and we already talked about a couple premium guys, so it looks like we're going to be getting out the wallets this week for some of them. And let's start with the running back here. Why don't you start and kick things off for us? Is there a running back worth the premium for you? And is it Jonathan Taylor? Because you think he's going to, as you said, in your words, try like hell to give it a shot to get there.
Yeah, I do believe that Jonathan Taylor is going to try like hell. And, you know, let me tell you why. I think that this is his last chance to make his case for MVP. He has that incentive to reach the 266 rushing yards to reach 2K. And I know he hasn't put up 200 yards a game yet this year, but I don't see why the Colts don't unleash him to try against a lowly Jags team who ranks 10th against opposing running backs and fantasy points. The Colts are motivated to win here, you know, and he put up 117 all-purpose yards and 2 scores on them last time they faced each other. He leads the league in rushing attempts, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns. He has 4 consecutive 100-yard games. He's hungry. He's motivated. I know it doesn't take much to convince you that JT is a good play this week, but he does feel very safe in this one, and he's one of the higher over-under totals this week at 54. And I know that – at 44. And I know that sounds bad, but 44 is actually the second highest over-under on this slate, and the Colts are favored by 15. Just not a big scoring week, so I'd rather take someone with Jonathan Taylor who has such a high ceiling, even if he is expensive. I mean, he's very expensive, but
he
could absolutely be worth it.
He could. Jacksonville could also be worth it, too. You know, I mean,
you might need him,
if a team that could use him folding up the tents. The Jacksonville Jaguars here. For me, it's Alvin Kamara against the Atlanta Falcons this week. Taysom Hill coming back to play quarterback. It just feels like this is a good opportunity for Kamara to return his investment and have one last big game here before the end of the season. So, last week I was not being flippant when I said there was no big time running backs I wanted to pay up for. And we were right, because if you go back and you look at it, the high price guys for the most part were underwhelming. And then the guys in that mid range that we kept harping on, the Devin Singletaries, the Rashad Pennies of the world, all those guys were good. So that sometimes you got to look at the slate, but I think this particular week, Taylor and Kamara are certainly two guys. Then when you go to cash game wide receivers, for me, it's obviously Cooper Kupp, as you point out. It seems very attainable. I mean, 12 for 136, that's a Cooper Kupp line if ever I saw one. If you look at the last time that he played, you know, against the 49ers too, I mean, it's not like he's not able to reach that plateau. So I don't know. To me, this seems like something very within his grasp. I think it does matter to him. I think it matters to McVay. And I think it matters to Stafford to a certain extent. The last time he played against that 49er team, this was back in week 10, 11 for 13 for 122, no touchdown, but 26 full PPR points. That'll do it for me. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, with the San Francisco 49ers being a pass funnel defense too, I could see Cooper Kupp being able to reign supreme here. It's not totally, like I said, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. He does this stuff on a weekly basis. Even in week 15, he had 9 receptions for 136 yards. So he could get it done. And I think that him and Matt Stafford being the breakfast buddies that they are, I think that they've talked about this, and I'm sure he's really itching to get that record. It's a huge deal. It's a huge honor. So I think that he's a lock for me this week. I would be prioritizing Cooper Kupp. I mean, you're probably going to need him if he puts up that kind of a stat line, you know, and get you over the 20-point threshold. So he's important. And if he's chalky, then it's with good reason.
Yeah, just because it's chalky doesn't mean it's bad, everybody. Remember, be good. Don't be different. Just be good. How about you when it comes to pricey wide receivers? Who you're looking at this week, do you think is worth the price tag?
Yeah, there's two options I'd like to give. I'll start off first with Justin Jefferson. I only love him if Kirk Cousins is playing in this game, and it seems like he will be after getting activated off COVID IR yesterday. If you aren't pushing all your chips in on Cooper Kupp, then Jefferson is a solid play against the Chicago Bears. The Bears have allowed 8 touchdowns to wide receivers in the past 6 games, while also allowing the 7th most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers this season. You know, I'll chalk up his week 15 matchup versus Chicago as a wash, seeing as it was a Monday night game where we notoriously seen Kirk Cousins flop in prime time. It's just where it's his kryptonite. Doesn't play great in prime time.
It's true.
You know, and last year with nothing to play for, Jefferson went, you know, bananas. He had 12 targets, 9 receptions for 133 yards. So I think that they'll still keep slinging it out there, even though they don't really have anything to play for. So unless we hear otherwise throughout the week, I wouldn't worry about Jefferson's playing time in this one either. My other option would be Stephon Diggs, who we talked about. You know, I couldn't go without mentioning him this week. He's set to earn that extra $1.5 million if he can just swing 6 receptions versus the New York Jets. And, you know, let's just review how he fared last time the two faced off. you know,
it wasn't bad.
It's his best fantasy game this season with 33.2 DraftKings points. You know, he had 13 targets, 8 receptions for 162 yards and a touchdown. I just don't see there being any reason he can't put up a similar stat line with the 6 receptions and, you know, and maybe an MVP hungry Josh Allen to help him do it. You know, I think that Diggs seems like one of the safer plays this week at the upper echelon tier of expensive price tags.
Well, and such a difference too on FanDuel. You got Cooper Kupp at 10K and then Diggs at 7,700. I mean, as soon as I saw that 7,700, I went, well, he's going in lineups. So it just, I couldn't believe he was so much cheaper than guys like Adams and Jefferson, Debo, and then Cooper Kupp. Obviously, it's just crazy different. And at the end of the day, I think you're right. I don't think there's going to be too much of a difference potentially in what their productivity is. So when it comes to quarterback, who's your quarterback of the week you want to pay up for?
I mean, I guess it's the guy throwing him the ball. It's going to be Josh Allen. And, you know, I mean, hey, he's the fantasy QB1 and he's playing the Jets. So let's stack him up with Diggs. I know it's going to be pricey to do that, but, you know, this is really his chance to get ready for the playoffs and beat up on a bad New York secondary. He dished a stomping to him week 10, put up 366 yards and 2 scores. I think he's worth paying up for this week. The AFC's title is still on the line, so he has something to play for. The Jets rank 31st versus the pass, and the Bills have the highest implied team total on the slate, set at 30. So we definitely want to get some exposure in this matchup one way or another, and I think the sky's the limit here for him this week.
And the Jets were actually plucky against the Bucs last week, so I kind of wonder, like, that's a good thing. If the Jets can hang with them at least for a half, that's great, because you want to keep pushing the envelope with Josh Allen. So I can't
believe don't want to lose.
Right. I can't believe I'm actually giving the Jets credit. What's happening here? It's week 18. Oh, gross.
Things get weird.
For me, it's Kyler Murray, and it's really matchup based. It's against Seattle, and it's been a really difficult season for Kyler Murray, I think, you know, between the injuries, losing Hopkins. But I think this is a situation where, you know, you look at that quarterback board and you're going to be missing some guys there that you normally would want to see. You also don't have Mahomes or Dak or any of those guys. You don't have Herbert because of the way the schedule falls on the main slate. So Murray is out there kind of on an island. And I think this is a good opportunity because I believe the negative perception keeps the roster percentage down. And it makes him where, you know, if Josh Allen and Kyler Murray have similar outputs, I think you have an opportunity here to, you know, save $400 here or more, you know, and actually kind of pivot around there depending on where you're playing and get a little bit more on the, let's say, defensive side or upgrade a tight end or something like that. That little bit of cash goes a long way if those guys can get close. Now, on DK, there's even more of a divide. It's 8,100 for Allen, 74 for Kyler Murray, but both are big price tags, obviously. But I think Murray's definitely in play this week for me, which brings us to tight end, which is Rob Gronkowski, because as you have no Antonio Brown or Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans' hamstring is what it is. And I mean, it's not an impossibility here. I mean, if you've looked at Gronk lines this year, this is something in his wheelhouse. I mean, can he get 7 catches? Absolutely, he can get 7 catches here. We've seen this before. Carolina Panthers are a good young defense, but I think the Panthers are kind of falling apart at the seams. In fact, he had 7 receptions against the Jets just last week for 115. So if you're looking around, you saw 7 catches against the Colts. He had, he had 8 catches in that first week against Dallas. So this is possible. And let's not pretend like these guys don't know that they're playing for $500,000. Of course they do. That's going to buy Rob Gronkowski, I'm sure, some sort of, you know, giant pool float made out of, you know, beer cans or something. I don't know. Whatever Rob Gronkowski wants to spend his money on, he can. He's a bro. He's hilarious. I love him. So give me Gronk. How about for you? Who's the tight end you're paying up for this week?
Yeah, I just want to say about Gronk, you know, and misfortune has provided him more opportunity. You know, we lost. Yeah. I'm almost 100% sure we have lost Antonio Brown on the Bucs. So
we've lost Antonio Brown on the Bucs or just period. I think we've lost him.
I'm sure that he's not coming back, even though he hasn't been released. But also with Mike Evans dealing with that hamstring injury, you know, maybe they get him to his incentive and they pull him from the game. You know, you want to rest up, get ready for the playoffs. I think that Gronk being out there as a reliable target to Tom Brady in this game, I think that provides even more opportunity for him. And that's great. And I really like Gronk this week. He's actually my favorite higher cash dollar play as well. But another option that I wouldn't mind is Mark Andrews, you know, in that high dollar range. I'm not really looking at Kittle with, you know, Trey Lance there likely to get the start, and with Joe suggesting Gronk, you know, I couldn't do it. So we're going to go Mark Andrews.
You can still do it. I always tell everybody, if you want to agree with me or I want to agree with you, that just speaks to how much we all like it. And it's a good play.
Right.
So, well, then I will encourage that.
Yeah, I will co-sign on Rob Gronkowski being a great play. But yeah, I mean, even with Mark Andrews, his matchup is tough, no doubt about it. So are all really the high dollar tight ends on this slate. So I'll stick with a guy who's been putting up epic double digit performances over the last month. I mean, I think that he's been our tight end one all year. You got to keep rolling with him, even at the expensive price tag. I do like some other guys at a better value. Love Gronk. But if you really want to still roll with the idea that Mark Andrews is going to hit that incentive or something like that, I can understand that.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Beachbound. Beachbound is an online travel agency with expertise in worldwide beach vacations and experiences. They're reinventing beach travel with beachbound.com, and customers can book worldwide beach vacations, including flights, hotels, and transfers and excursions. And they're all in that one-stop travel shop that is Beachbound. And Beachbound is committed to building each beach experience that fulfills the life cravings and curiosities, because to them, beach isn't just a place, it's a way of life. And they thrive on making sure their customers' getaways are unique experiences that create lasting memories and bring relaxation and luxury to worldwide beaches. They focus on experiences and they ask customers what they're bound for: immersion, passion, togetherness, adventure, discovery, rejuvenation. You discover what you're bound for and they will help you over at beachbound.com. Whatever you're bound for, there's a beach out there waiting for you at beachbound.com. So visit beachbound.com today to book your next vacation and find what you're bound for. Beachbound.com. You can find the perfect beach vacation for you no matter what you're looking for. And now back to the action. All right, let's move on now to the cash game plays that are maybe a little bit better values. Some guys, you know, maybe you could also play them in GPPs. Basically, the guys you think are just good ROIs and good returns on investment here in this week 18 of football. So why don't you kick things off here with some running backs that you like, Kira?
Yeah, one that I like absolutely love is Elijah Mitchell this week. I just don't understand why his production never really matches his price point, or his opportunity that he gets matches the price point. And that's all right. You know, that's why we take advantage of these things. And you're going to want to stay on practice reports for him, just being available for this game. But, you know, if he plays, then, oh, baby, he's a value on DraftKings at 6K. When you have a healthy Elijah Mitchell, he sees over 20-plus rushing attempts a game. Whenever he gets that full workload, it translates to fantasy points. I mean, he puts up nearly 20 every time that he gets a full workload. He's a beast, and the 49ers have to win if they want to sniff the playoffs. So this game should be competitive. You have to love Mitchell here. Another really great option that I like, and we're going to, you know, I think this is kind of a theme this week, is watching reports out of these teams, you know, and it's going to be Chase Edmonds. He's a love for me if there's no Connor. So you just really have to stay watered this week and change with the news. Seattle gives up a ton to running backs, especially pass catching running backs like Chase Edmonds. The Seahawks actually give up the most receptions and receiving yards to opposing running backs, which is very on brand for someone like Chase Edmonds. He's had 13 catches on 15 targets over the last 2 weeks. I mean, hell, I think he's a good play, even if Connor's in there. You know, I don't know how healthy he is. I don't think he's going to play. So I would really like to get Chase Edmonds into my lineups this week.
Yeah, Edmonds was my guy last week that I was just harping on forever. And the Eli Mitchell thing, you're 100% right on DK. It's the lack of targets. They just devalue him. in the way the pricing structure is, because he's not a pass catching running back. So he has to be 15 for 105 and a touchdown for him to be a good investment. And I think people recognize that. So they make him cheaper. So he's more tantalizing. And guess what? He keeps paying off. I mean, you're right. He keeps getting it. When he gets the opportunity, he's healthy enough to go. He's a good start. For me this week, it's going to be with the Bears and David Montgomery. I think Montgomery's in a good spot here against Minnesota. Just think they're going to see a ton of work there for Montgomery last game of the year. And kind of like last year, towards the end, you know, Montgomery plays better towards the end of seasons than the beginning for some reason, whatever that is.
He really wraps it up for us at the end there, you know, trade for Montgomery at the end.
Which is the worst, right? Because then you go into next season with this false sense of like, yeah, things are going really well. Everything's really good. We're getting, you know, Montgomery's investable. And he is to a certain extent, but obviously this is the last game, so he let it all hang out there. And then this one is kind of just circle and wait, because if Aaron Rodgers comes out of the game and if we can say he plays like a couple, I don't know, maybe a series or two, right? If he does decide he wants to play just so he, you know, doesn't have a long giant layoff. And I assume you're going to put Aaron Jones in bubble wrap because he's had some injuries here. I imagine AJ Dillon could get a lot of work in this game against Detroit. So that's a guy that I've circled here. He's not the cheapest guy in the world, but I think in terms of return, whenever people see AJ Dillon, they always don't know what to do because of Aaron Jones' presence. But I feel like it might be less Aaron Jones in this one because of the injuries and because who's healthiest, and Dillon's healthier. So that's the way I would go, particularly this week. At value wide receiver for me, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Look, I'll take the L on this one. The dude, no matter who's throwing him the football, it doesn't matter. That was the thing that was a little concerning to me. I was starting to wonder, well, what do I want to do? Do I want to keep rolling around this train or not? And you know what? I think the answer is yes. I think it's pretty obvious. Here's the targets for the last month or so. 12, 12, 11, 11, 11. And he's also got 4 touchdowns in 5 weeks. So yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown has established himself as the big dog, which is great because I had all the shares of him in season long in drafts and then had to drop him because he wasn't doing anything and I needed the roster space. And I wish I was able to pick him back up. But alas, I was not able to. Who is your good return on investment wide receiver this week, Kira?
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you on Amon-Ra St. Brown this week. I mean, when somebody does something for 5 consecutive weeks and he's been doing it on and off all season, he's going to be great. I'm looking forward to seeing him next year as well. But my my pick this week is going to be Tyler Lockett. You know, he's my lock while everyone is all eyes on Metcalf after his big game last week. You know, they're distracted by that 3-touchdown performance. We're very recency biased in the fantasy football community. So they're forgetting about Tyler Lockett, who owns the Cardinals as of lately. You know, his last 3 games versus Arizona, he had 5 targets, 4 receptions, 115 yards. Next game, 9 targets, 9 receptions, 67 yards and a touchdown. And here's the game that I think everyone can remember is his 60-point performance where he had 20 targets, 15 receptions, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So, you know, in a week 18 where the points just aren't particularly plentiful, I like Lockett, who can be an absolute slate breaker on any given week here, especially when he's playing the Arizona Cardinals. And Arizona has been giving it out to wide receivers on defense. They give up the 4th most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. They're really stout everywhere else. You know, they're good against the run, tight ends, opposing quarterbacks. So, you know, let people take DK Metcalf for the higher price in the roster ship. Give me Tyler Lockett. I think he's going to be lower owned, and I think he has a chance to boom in this game. And you're going to need him if he breaks a slate and puts up a 60-point game like he has, or just any, you know, he's at a value if he hits anything like he has the last couple times he's played Arizona. So I like him a lot this week.
And it's a great point too, because whenever you have one of those guys go off the week before, like DK did, the tendency is to chase that other guy. So that makes a perfect opportunity to make a nice, safe value investment in Tyler Lockett. I absolutely love it. All right, let's go to quarterback here. Who's your value QB play of the week?
Yeah, so my value quarterback this week is going to be Trey Lance. It's a bit of a tough week for quarterback value, and I know that Lance comes up a little bit later for us here in the podcast, but he's just a glaring value to me given his price point. You know, I can hardly place someone else in this category. Maybe Kirk Cousins versus Chicago isn't a bad idea, but I mean, given his price tag and the people that are around him, you know, are you going to play Jared Goff or Tyler Heineke over someone who's like Trey Lance for his price? I mean, he's just way too cheap. You know, but whatever, I digress. He's, you know, he reminds me a lot of one of my favorite quarterbacks, which is Jalen Hurts. You know, it doesn't matter how he plays, he finds a way to get this done. He started last week pretty slow, and by the second half, you know, he pulled it off. He was a top 10 quarterback in fantasy scoring, and he honestly would have been even better if they didn't have a rushing touchdown called back. You know, he could have been a top 5 productive player all in the second half of the game, and he's coming off an injury, so maybe he just needed to knock off the rust in that one. He has a cannon of an arm on him. He isn't afraid to attempt big plays. He uses his legs. This is a must-win game. There's a decent implied team total with points to be scored in the game. He's just a big value play, and, you know, we're waiting for his big blow-up game, and you just want to get ahead of it before it happens. And on a week like this where the slate's a little weird, you know, I'll take my chances on somebody like Trey Lance for so cheap.
All right, Taysom Hill is my guy. It's not pretty. I don't love it, but I just look at the rushing equity here, and is he going to run the ball 10 times? Yeah. Is that going to be somewhere around 50 yards or so with maybe a touchdown in there probably against the Falcons? Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm looking at the matchup. I'm looking at the scenario. I'm looking at end of the year Falcons defense versus Taysom Hill running around. And look, this is Taysom Hill's last chance to make an impression here for the Saints going forward to 2022, which I think is extremely important. So that's a little real football action at you on the DFS side, which does matter. It does enter into these guys' psyches, and it does enter into the stat lines at the end of the day. So that's another thing to keep in mind. For me, my value tight end is Zach Ertz. You know, one of these guys that's kind of stepped up in the void that we've had at the tight end position here has been quietly Zach Ertz, especially in the PPR side, right? Where it's the full PPR. I feel like Ertz is a good, safe investment at tight end if you don't want to go up to the top of the board for somebody. I think he gives you a nice return. He does have some touchdown equity. There's no doubt about that. We love the matchup. We've already talked about loving going against that Seattle Seahawks defense. So I think Ertz at 5,300 on DK specifically in the full point PPR, I think he gets you somewhere around 13 points. He's had double digits 3 weeks in a row. And I think there's opportunity for a bigger game because we are at the end game basically of the season. So give me Ertz. Who are you taking as your tight end value of the week?
Yeah, I would co-sign on Ertz too. I do have a value play, but I think that he's fantastic going up against Seattle. They give up the fourth most points to opposing tight ends. I think Ertz is a very safe play. I do like Dawson Knox this week, and you know, I know there's probably not a lot of people as excited as me to play the guy who put up zero fantasy points last week. But the Jets are bad, and if you're playing Week 18 DFS, you already know that. I don't really need to tell you how bad they are. But the Jets continue to give up scores to opposing tight ends. They've given up 4 touchdowns in the last 6 games to him. Last time I know he wasn't effective versus the Jets, but he was really just fresh off that hand injury that he had in the middle of the season. So, you know, ouch, probably wasn't his best time to explode against the Jets. But yeah, the Jets are giving up the 5th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. If you want exposure to this game, which we absolutely do, Allen and Knox is a good way to do it. It's a cheaper way to do it if you want to avoid having to pay the high dollar price for Stephon Diggs. There should be plenty of points to go around. So I like Dawson Knox to be able to bounce back.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 for an entire year for your entire household. And right now at Fantasy Pros, as a listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS, and no matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. All right, let's move on to the gambles where it gets a little fun. And this one's a bit of a gamble only this week because not because it hasn't been good, because it's been great. I mean, Devin Singletary, we've been riding this train for weeks now on the show, which has been incredibly prolific, but it did hit the high watermark last week, 23. So I don't think any of us quite expected the 23 or the 23 carries necessarily. So that's the thing to me that, you know, was a little surprising in that situation. But once again, you make that case about Josh Allen looking for MVP. We're looking for Stephon Diggs and incentives. I'm just a little worried about, okay, how much are we going to run the football? And maybe how much of a lead do we have in this game that we sit on? Either way, I want Devin Singletary, but he becomes more of a GPP play to me than a cash game play. I still like it, still highly investable, so I'm not getting off the train. I'm just saying I think it's a good thing the roster percentage might be a little wonky this week because it feels like we're getting to a point with Devin Singletary where people are starting to believe And then there's other people who say, well, it can't get any better than this. And I understand that. I understand that mentality. I also think that you're in an opportunity where the Buffalo Bills have figured it out finally, that balance to their offense was overdue, and they found a little balance here, and they've been better ever since. So give me Devin Singletary this week, but it does have risk because, once again, it could be this blowout game where they're just, you know, handed it to the Jets, and maybe all those starters come out, including Singletary. So there's a lot of variables in Singletary this week, but I still want to invest in it. I still think it's worth investing in. How about for you? When you look at running backs in tournaments this week, who do you have your eye on, Kira?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking risk here. I'm going risky with Devonta Freeman. You know, I know he splits with Murray, but on paper, the matchup is great for Devontae. The Steelers defense just bleeds fantasy points to opposing running backs, unless you're the Browns and you have Nick Chubb. Then I guess you just don't take that into consideration. You just let that whole idea go. But I think this game can really be controlled on the ground and give Freeman plenty of opportunities, as both teams' passing attacks are just lacking. I mean, if you've watched Ben Roethlisberger play, I know we watched them all play probably on Monday night, and he just was absolutely terrible. The corpse of him is just not scary. So I like Freeman as a cheap running back too in GPPs, especially if I pay up for someone like Jonathan Taylor, who seems pretty safe with his upside. You could really hit on a value there with Devonta Freeman. He's super cheap, only 5,200 on DraftKings and 5,600 on FanDuel. And another running back that I like this week that I think has a safe floor with high upside is Deontay Foreman. I know these names kind of sound similar, but he's going up against the Texans. He's done a pretty serviceable job filling in for Derrick Henry. He's posted 3 games over 100 yards over his last 5. Since they've really handed him a more solidified role, he's done well. The Texans are giving up the 5th most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. He's done really well in the easier matchups, and this is his last chance to really showcase what he's made of before he hands that workload back over to Derrick Henry. So, you know, hey, he's auditioning for a new job next year, super cheap, in a good spot, good matchup, and I think he'll be low-owned. So he's a good option this week if you want to take a shot in GPP.
Freeman and Foreman for Kira on the running back side. On the wide receivers for me, I'm going to go back to that Braxton Berrios. Well, we had Scott Simpson on the show last week, and he was thumping the table, and I listened and I started him. I was happy I did. And I think we could be in that same situation. Wilson's played a little bit better here down the stretch. Not perfect, but certainly better. So I think you're looking at the price tag for Braxton Berrios, and it's 4,900 on DK and full point PPR. I mean, I know he's got the Q tag on him right now dealing with the quad contusion, but I think we would play in this last game here. But look, 8 receptions on 12 targets last week. And I know that secondary has not been good for Tampa, but let's be honest. I mean, since Tre'Davious White got hurt, that secondary hasn't been the same for Buffalo. So you could throw the ball on them a little bit too. So I think Berrios is a guy. And the other one to me, I know everybody's going to be talking about Green because of the incentive, but Christian Kirk, I think, is the other one that's oddly safe in this game against Seattle, where I think you're just seeing the target share go his way ever since Hopkins been out. He does have some touchdown equity. He does have a lower price. I like those two guys at wide receiver in terms of some gambles that I think are worth taking. How about you when you're looking at wide receiver GPP guys? Who really pops out and stands out to you?
Yeah, someone that, even as I'm thinking of Braxton Berrios, you know, we have to watch also if Elijah Moore is coming back. If he comes back, then he's even a bigger value. He's 4,700 on DraftKings. He's cheaper, so... You know, as cute as Braxton Berrios has been, I mean, if Elijah Moore is out, he's a great play. But if Elijah Moore is in, I'd rather pivot and go to Moore in that instance.
I co-signed that, Kira.
Yeah. That's the only thing that worries me about him. Otherwise, yeah, he's a great play. You know, who knew Braxton Berrios is someone we'd be talking about all this year, but he is. Life gets weird in the NFL. You know, you wouldn't believe half the things if I told you about them and I was someone who came from the future. Like, you'd be like, what? You know, here's another one that I guess people would probably maybe be a little surprised is my person this week is going to be at wide receivers, Darnell Mooney. He feels like he just has a safe floor with a high ceiling. He continues to see a lot of volume, 13 targets last week, despite a blowout victory versus New York Giants. He's had a 25.1% target share on the year. He's being used heavily, you know, and he's also, you know, if we want to talk incentives still, he's 71 yards away from his first 1,000-yard season. The Bears aren't really playing for anything, but it's Nagy's last game as their head coach. Maybe he wants to make one final statement. I don't know what that may be, but hopefully it's with Darnell Mooney. Minnesota's defense, they just stink. You know, they've allowed 85 catches, they let them go for 977 yards to go along with 5 touchdowns to the opposing wide receivers over their last 5 games. Not really doing too hot. So look for Mooney to finish with a strong, strong performance.
Yeah, I'm a big Mooney fan, and I hope that he does, because I think, you know, this was one of those guys too that I owned everywhere this year on in season long leagues and wanted to have on my roster. And it's been up and down, unfortunately, because the quarterback situation has been so fluid there at times. When it comes to quarterbacks, you took Trey Lance as your value. I'm taking him as my gamble only because it is the Rams, and that's the thing. And I love going on Trey Lance. The practice report that I heard this morning coming out of Jimmy Garoppolo was basically excruciating pain trying to throw the football. That doesn't sound good. And I think Garoppolo's trying his best to show that he's trying to play, but at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to. And the 49ers played very well against the Rams in the last few outings. I mean, they basically have owned them, for lack of a better word. And I think Trey Lance, you know, with his rushing equity he brings, with the bigger arm that he brings, I think there's a lot of opportunity here. And as you said, you made all the cases already for Lance, so I'm not going to double down on it, except that for me, it's more of a tournament play than somebody who kind of floats in between, only because I do think it is the Rams, it is Aaron Donald, and you never know what's going to happen there, potentially. How about for you? When you're looking at a quarterback this week who is a good GPP play, who is your dude?
Yeah, so, I mean... On the other side of that ball, I'm going to take Matt Stafford. And I know, hey, playing Matt Stafford isn't for the week right now after he's really just kind of blew it the last 3 weeks. And as you said, it's a risk because the Rams have been getting owned by the San Francisco 49ers, and he's just looked like Detroit Matt Stafford. But, you know, it's go time, baby. If the Rams, if they went all in this year on their roster, okay, they've put all their chips in, all their money, their investment is in this year. They need to put a bow on the NFC West with a win versus San Francisco. You know, I said it a bunch of times that this game's going to be competitive in my thoughts, and it's going to take Stafford using his arm to get there versus San Fran's defense, who is a pass funnel defense. You know, the guy's definitely going to be low owned after putting up all the duds. So let's hope his plethora of good wide receivers can carry him to the promised land here, and especially cheap over there on FanDuel. So I'll take my chances on Matt Stafford. If, you know, if someone like Trey Lance might, I don't want to say that he's going to get chalky. I don't know, but as a value, I think that no one's going to really be taking Stafford. And hopefully that's not because I'm crazy. Hopefully that this makes me look like a genius move. But given real football scenarios, Matt Stafford has got to put up a good performance. He's got to play better than he has. And I think
he does. He keeps coming out sluggish. Like, that's the thing. They come out of the gate a little sluggish, and it's costing them, because then they're in these games too tight. You want them to come out and have a good drive. Like, the best thing that could happen to Stafford in this game is come out, go 85 yards for a touchdown or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best thing you can possibly hope for, is a long, sustained, 8-minute drive kind of a thing. And that would be, I think, the best case scenario for them. Get off to a good start. Not getting off to good starts, you're always kind of trying to find it a little bit.
We can especially hope that Cooper Kupp is the one that carries them, because then we'll really be hitting big.
Speaking of trying to find a tight end now this time of year has just been tough. I actually like the Ertz play, as you said, Knox. You know, we're looking at Gronkowski and Andrews. If you're going to cheap out on tight end, I think Gerald Everett's in play. Again, I just like the over on this game, so I'm just playing the total more than I am playing the player. And there's opportunity for him to catch a touchdown, and if that's the case, then guess what? Then he's probably going to be a decent return on investment. I like it a little bit more on the FanDuel side because it's more touchdown heavy, but once again, it's not something I'm in love with. I prefer to actually pay up for at least a mid-range tight end this particular week. But how about for you? Is there another name that might be a sneaky good play this week at tight end?
Yeah, so I'm going kind of against the grain of what my idea is here this week. Is like week 18, it's not a huge scoring week. People are tired. They're over it. I mean, they've been playing football for 18 weeks straight, and it gets really grueling on their bodies. So, yeah, we don't expect huge scoring games. So I do try to target the higher over-unders, because you're just trying to find, hey, where are we going to get all these points at? But I'm going to target someone in one of the lower scoring games this week. We're going to get really weird within. We're going to take John Bates, and some might not even know who the heck I'm even talking about, but John Bates is actually the tight end for the Washington football team. And with Ricky Seals-Jones leaving last week on a stretcher, I'm going to have to believe that the Washington football team will be able to get a good look at the rookie Bates this week. And boy, does Washington football team just love their tight ends, probably because the passing options just don't really stand out too much for them outside of Terry McLaurin. And this isn't a flashy play by any means, don't get me wrong, but for $3,000, you could do much worse. He's looked okay over the last 2 weeks, taking on his larger role. If you want to really save money and take a dart throw, you're trying to fit in some of these high dollar guys on a weird tight end slate here, you could take the shot on John Bates. You know, you're either going to look crazy or you're going to look like a genius.
Let's take a look at some of the defenses, Kira. And for me, the ones I've circled this week are Washington, Indianapolis, clearly against the Jaguars. This could be another just horrible blowout. I mean, gosh, last week in New England was not pretty for them. Tampa Bay, I would also look at. I think they've, you know, I could see them kind of coalescing as a team here. It's kind of important for them after last week having such a rocky week together. I think it's important for them to come out and have a good game. And then I keep circling Detroit, who's super cheap and contrarian. But if we're getting Jordan Love, I mean, I've seen enough Jordan Love to know I kind of want a piece of the other side of that because he was awful when he played. I mean, just awful. So I actually think Detroit is a team that there's no quit in them, which I love. Dan Campbell somehow has gotten through to this bunch. But I kind of feel like Detroit is in play as an interesting contrarian play that could get you 9-10 points. And at that value, that's pretty good considering they're bottom of the rung, basically. Any of those defenses or another defense, too, that is intriguing to you this week?
Yeah, I think you named all the really great options. I think that Indy is probably my favorite amongst them all just because, you know, they are tied with Dallas, I believe, for the most turnovers in the league, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are up there and giving out the most. I think they are number one at giving out the most turnovers in the league. So that combination seems like it could be very good. And, you know, another great option that I like this week for the cheap is going to be the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Chicago Bears because, hey, like we've said, the Chicago Bears have been pretty up and down with their quarterback carousel. And they have been known to create some turnovers, so I will take the Vikings there. They played pretty good against them in Week 15, gave you 15 points, so hopefully they could deliver some kind of similar performance.
Stack of the week for me, it's Buffalo. I'm trying to keep it simple, and I actually like it more because I feel like the Jets might be competitive in this game. I say might because it's hard to have faith in the Jets, but after what I've seen recently, it feels like Robert Saleh might have them kind of at least in the right direction going forward into the 2022 season. But I'm going to go ahead here and take a shot here with the Buffalo Bills. And I know it's pricey, but the fact that Diggs is a little cheaper this week than some of those premium wide receivers usually are, I think is actually a good look for him. And Singletary kind of rounds it out if you want to go with that trio. Or you could go with Knox, as Kira pointed out before. How about you for stack of the week, Kira? Who you got?
Yeah, Buffalo has got to be up there in the upper echelon because, I mean, we like everyone. You know, we like every area. We like Josh Allen, we like Devin Singletary, we like Diggs, we like Knox. Kind of similar, I guess, would be maybe Arizona for me. Love Kyler Murray, love Chase Edmonds, and we also love Zach Ertz, and we love Christian Kirk, you know, and maybe even AJ Green. So I think that those are the two games that I'll be targeting for sure.
Yeah, I've got a lot of Arizona exposure, I can tell you right now, in all the lineups I've made already. All right, lock of the week time. You go first. Who is your lock of the week? Who are you locking it down with?
All right. I've got a couple lock of the week. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, not much needs to be said there on why
he's
going to
die trying, right? You feel like
Twitter buzzed. Absolute man amongst boys. So I think that we can trust him to get it done this week. And, you know, the Colts have to win. So this game is important to them. And they have actually weirdly struggled against the Jags in the past. So maybe it's competitive enough they want to ride him into the playoffs. Another lock of the week is going to be Elijah Mitchell for me. I think that that game is going to be competitive. I think that he's going to be heavily used, and every time he's heavily used, it translates to fantasy points. So I really like Mitchell at his cheap price point. And then we're going to lock it. And hopefully he has another blowout game going up against the Arizona Cardinals, where he has historically done very well.
All right. Some really good ones there. For me, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, just lock it in, man. I mean, just the guy has been so good. He's so consistent. I don't see any reason not to be confident anymore. I know last week my confidence was shaken. I have come around. I'm good. I'm all right. Let's go. And then Alvin Kamara is my other one, too. I just feel like he is going to be a cheaper pivot away from the very top, but I think he's going to have a 25-point day against Atlanta. It's a really good matchup. Let's do the fantasy fly around. We're going to go through each game here on the main slate. I'm going to ask Kira a question. She's going to give me a brilliant answer. Cincinnati at Cleveland. With Mixon not playing, is P. Ryan possibly somebody that you would invest in at all this week as a cheaper running back? Because it looks like certainly the carries will be going to him.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen P. Ryan produce when we haven't had Mixon in the game, and we've even seen him produce decently well when he is in the game. So I don't see why you can't take a shot on someone like P. Ryan in this one. If there is no Mixon, then yeah, I mean, you could absolutely take the shot. Why not? Cheap all price, right. Only $5,300. I don't love it, but you know, if that's somewhere you want to go.
Well, I can't ask you too much about Cleveland because I don't know how you feel right now about everything going on with them. And you know, Case Keenum was good that one time. I don't know if we want to keep going back to that well, but I don't know. I don't find anything investable here really in this game. So I was trying to find something fun. Green Bay at Detroit. I don't believe that Rodgers is going to really play in this game. If he does, it's going to be like a preseason kind of exposure, would be my guess. But for you, what does that do to all the other pieces here with Green Bay? We already touched on Detroit, basically, with Amon-Ra being that one target guy that we like. But anything else here in Green Bay you think is worth a look? Because there are a lot of premium pieces here, whether Aaron Rodgers is in or not, just a matter of whether or not Jordan Love can get anything out of them.
Yeah, I think what I want to pay attention to the most is hopefully the coaches aren't trying to like just josh us and say like, yeah, all our guys are playing. You know, I want to know for sure who's going to be in this game. If Aaron Rodgers is out, I don't mind Jordan Love if we're still playing guys like MVS and Alan Lazard out there, but maybe sitting Davante Adams or something like that. Then he's still intriguing to me. AJ Dillon would be very intriguing to me if he was still out there, like we mentioned earlier. So really, I think it's just paying attention to the week as it goes on, staying water, adjusting to that. If you know they're dishing out Amari Rodgers or something like that as their number one wide receiver, I'm probably out.
All right, let's move on to the next game here, and that's Chicago, Minnesota. I believe this week especially, everybody's going to have so much attention on Jonathan Taylor that people are going to forget about Dalvin Cook, and I don't think they should. I mean, the Bears are the 24th ranked rush defense. I feel like this is one game left here for Dalvin Cook. I assume that Cousins is going to be back. I think we all do. But to me, this is a great opportunity to get a guy who could put up 30 points potentially in this game and might have a very low roster percentage because the bad taste in everyone's mouth from last week and what that offense looked like.
Yeah, I think people need to realize going up against Green Bay is not an easy running back matchup. I know it has been in the past, and it's an area that I'm not surprised necessarily that he struggled last week, and he was just coming off of being hurt and sick, and you know, he's been going through it himself. I think it's a great chance for him to bounce back to end the season on a good note. If Kirk Cousins is playing, you know, I think that this game isn't going to be too shabby. So Dalvin Cook at a low roster percentage, you could take the chance.
All right, Washington against the Giants. Oh man, the Giants falling apart here. Very ugly times, but I really want to drive home. I think this Washington defense is in line for a really good day. I think they're highly investable, even though it might be a little bit more expensive. So over under in this game, 3 turnovers for the Giants. You buy into that over?
I think that it's going to hit the under. I don't think it's going to be very good. I mean, from what we've saw out of Jake Fromm.
For the turnovers? Like 3 turnovers?
Oh yeah. No, I think the turnovers could absolutely.
Yeah, I'm saying 3 turnovers. I'm trying to give it points to the defense here.
No, it's okay. Half paying attention somehow.
Oh,
I thought you
meant. Oh, the under on the total. I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
I'm like, are you surprised? Who do you think is scoring those points?
Let's say 3 turnovers for the Giants here between Fromm and whatever hell else they're going to throw out there. I think you can go for the over on the turnovers here.
I think you could too. I mean, Jake Fromm just looked absolutely terrible. He couldn't get anything going. I mean, it was painful to watch the guy. So I think that he could easily create you a ton of turnovers in this game. I think Washington football team's defense is a great play this week.
All right. The Indianapolis Colts at Jacksonville Jaguars, with all the attention on Jonathan Taylor, should we be buying any cheap shares of Michael Pittman?
I mean, you can, because Jacksonville's secondary, not very good. It's really just do I trust Carson Wentz right now? Cause he's also just looked just very lacking in the passing department, you know. But we do see Michael Pittman time and time again get it done. I'm trying to see where he's priced at here. He's priced in the range of, like, I mean, I rather Christian Kirk over Michael Pittman there. They're priced similarly on maybe not be interested in Michael Pittman this week, just because I like a lot more value plays in that same range as him. I think that his ceiling is a little bit capped in this game.
All right, let's move on to the next one here, and it is the Pittsburgh Steelers at Baltimore Ravens. You already mentioned Freeman in this game. What about Najee Harris? We want to go back to that well after that stellar performance Monday night.
You know, I really, when it came down to the high dollar plays and I was thinking of, you know, I definitely want to get Jonathan Taylor in there. I almost mentioned Najee Harris as well. Just the volume that he gets, mm-hmm. the sheer volume alone has, whether people want to argue he's a good running back or not, he's, you know, averaging his carries or blah. People want to say whatever they want to say. He's been fantastic for fantasy football. So if you want to take a chance on him and you think that Ben Roethlisberger is just done and dust like I do, I think that they're going to keep on handing him the ball and he's going to get opportunities to score. So I don't think he's a bad play.
Done and dust. I like that. All right, next here. The Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. Look, with the Titans here fighting for that number one seed to maintain that, it's funny, we have not mentioned anyone in this game. Is this game investable at all for you?
I actually did mention
Foreman. Oh, you did mention Foreman. Oh, no, I apologize. That, but, you did mention Foreman.
I'm surprised that none of us mentioned A.J. Brown because I don't think he's a bad play at all this week. I think he's actually a pretty good play going up against the Texans. So if I'm going to invest anywhere, it's going to be in Foreman or in A.J. Brown. I don't hate Brandon Cooks either just because, you know, he's a pillar of consistency himself and Davis Mills really does try to feed him the ball. If this game gets weirdly competitive, which it actually tends to between the Titans and the Texans, they really give it to each other. So, you know, maybe that provides more opportunities. If the Texans are scoring points, I'm going to have to assume some of that comes from Brandon Cooks. So I don't mind Brandon Cooks, A.J. Brown. I mean, if you want to get really crazy in GPPs and you want to take a chance on Davis Mills, maybe, you know, I don't think that it's the worst thing you could do. The Titans are 15th against opposing fantasy quarterbacks. Davis Mills has either hurt us very badly or he surprised us. So that's how it goes. Those are the guys that win the Millie Maker, those people who play Davis Mills. So you never know. You could take a chance.
New Orleans at Atlanta. We talked a lot about this one. I would just tell everybody, just keep an eye on Pitts. I don't think he's practicing. He didn't practice yesterday. I don't know. If he's not practicing today, it's tenuous for him to get on the field. So, and if that's the case, I don't know what's left there in Atlanta. I don't feel good about it. We already talked about the New Orleans pieces. Jets and Buffalo, we talked a lot about. San Fran and the Rams, we talked about. New England and Miami, we talked zero about. New England exploded offensively last week, but it was the Jaguars. Miami, whose defense has been great, laid a huge egg against the Titans last week. So what do you make of this contest? Is there anything, whether it be Damian Harris or Hunter Henry, or maybe on the Miami side, a Waddle that you feel like is worth a look in week 18?
Yeah, I think this game is tough. I mean, I think I've avoided it just for the sheer fact that don't love anyone, obviously, on the Patriots passing attack. You really can't trust that, especially even going against Miami, who's been a better defense as of late. Who do we think is going to have the game? Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson? Kind of hard to predict that on any given week. So that's why I won't go there. As far as Jalen Waddle, he gets a hard matchup. You know, the Patriots passing defense is no slouch. So I think I'm just not seeing the upside in this game for these guys. I'm not thinking that this is going to be, you know, a ceiling game for Jalen Waddle. So I guess I'm just kind of off the players in this game. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be like a weird defense, divisional slugfest. Rather just avoid it. Maybe, you know, leave that to the defenses to play. It's not an offensive game for me.
It's not the sexy game of the week in terms of total.
Sure yeah, not.
It's definitely not. As opposed to Arizona and Seattle, which we've already kind of talked a lot. But so really not too much left there to pick apart with Arizona and Seattle. The last one here is Carolina and Tampa. And I guess here's the big question. We talked about Gronk. Everybody knows about Brady. Carolina, nobody's touching right now. But do you go back to the well of a guy like Cyril Grayson, who is just 5,600 on FanDuel? And do you believe what you saw last week, or is that just an anomaly based on the needs of that specific game at that moment?
I mean, it's hard to say. He's been kind of getting it done over the last 3 weeks, and he's a crazy Cinderella star. You know, he didn't even play college football. This guy was a track star. So leave it to Tom Brady to make somebody relevant like that. If you don't have Mike Evans, you don't have many passing options. Going up against Carolina Panthers, I can maybe see Cyril Grayson, you know, for the cheap price tag, you could take a shot. it is a tough matchup. The Carolina Panthers, you know, Stephon Gilmore is still over there. You can't forget about him. Does a great job. I'm trying to like sift through my thoughts on that as I talk about it. I guess I don't love him as a player. I know a lot of people are really like, hey, he had 8 targets last week. That's versus the Jets. You know, they did play Carolina just 2 weeks ago and he had 3 targets, still managed 81 yards. But, you know, those are a lot of times that's on broken plays, stuff like that, especially a guy that fast. So you can expect that again. Obviously, you know, he has that ability, but I don't know that I'm trusting him this week.
I think that's very fair. You can follow her on the Twitter machine at FantasyFFKyra. That's fantasy with a PH, FantasyFFKyra. Kyra, what else you guys got working on at Club Fantasy here this offseason?
No, this offseason, we're still going to be doing, so I do a podcast called DFS and Chill over on Club Fantasy, and we are going to be doing content during the playoffs. We're not going to sleep, but as you know, fantasy football comes to an end for the regular season. DFS lives on, as we know. So we're going to make the most of it. We're going to do some playoff stuff. As far as articles, writing, stuff like that, we're probably not going to continue that until the off season. So we're going to wait a bit yet for that. But yeah, stay tuned. We're going to be doing the podcast every week during the playoffs. Definitely worth taking a look at. Help some people win some money.
Great stuff, Kyra. So great to have you on the show here for the first time. Certainly not the last time either, I am sure. In the meantime, everybody, make sure you visit fantasypros.com/contest. We're giving away that Jalen Waddle jersey thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. So subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Click that notifications bell, screenshot that bad boy, and go over to fantasypros.com/contest to enter today. Also, don't forget about the Daily Juice podcast at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Subscribe wherever you get your pods. Our rock star Matt Perrault is taking you through every day in sports wagering. It doesn't matter what the sport. Matt Perrault has you covered. Also, don't forget about our sponsors. I want to thank them, including beachbound.com. You can find the perfect beach vacation for you no matter what you're looking for at beachbound.com. Also, don't forget about Air Medcare Network as well. Air Medcare Network, a proud sponsor of the Fantasy Pros podcast. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code FantasyPros today. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Kyra Wiatrowski, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.